Okay, thank you. Now we'll turn to our next paper. Micah Alpaugh is Assistant Professor of History at the University of Central Missouri and author of a recent book with Cambridge University Press, Nonviolence and the French Revolution, Political Demonstrations in Paris, 1787-1795. Congratulations. And several articles, including The British Origins of the French Jacobins, published in European History Quarterly. He's currently working on a book project entitled Transatlantic Revolutions, Interconnected Rise of Social Movements in America, Britain, Ireland, France, and Haiti, 1765 to 1800. His paper today is entitled Les Gens de Couleur, Voting Rights and the Spread of Social Movement Models in Late Colonial Saint-Domingue, 1789 to 1791.
Thank you very much, Cynthia. The French island colony of Saint-Domingue hosted a French Revolution in miniature, one with all the antagonisms of France itself, plus what would become a multi-sided race war. As such, the conflict that within 2 years would fuel the Haitian Revolution became not merely a struggle between revolutionaries and counter-revolutionaries, but rather numerous groups. Planters, poor whites, mulattoes, free blacks, and slaves, each mobilizing social movements to turn the upheavals of the French Revolution to their own advantage. Although explanations of the course and outcomes of the Haitian Revolution have, with reason, shifted to African origins, interpreting the outbreak of the slave revolution requires an understanding of the intense political pressure of the early French Revolution and the elaborate associational life it fostered. Rather than making sharp delineations between the 1791 slave revolt and previous colonial disturbances, I rather argue that the slave rebellion represented an outgrowth as well as an escalation of Saint-Domingue's political process over the previous 2 years. In Atlantic perspective, the Haitian Revolution appears one in a series of linked revolutionary social movements that empowered the era's most radical causes, networked formal or semi-formal organizations that from British origins in the American Sons of Liberty movement would inspire British parliamentary reform, Irish nationalism, international abolitionism, the French Jacobins, and the American Democratic Party, among others as I trace in my present book study. Particularly in a society divided, as divided and contentious as late colonial Saint-Domingue, the power of associational collective action during the early French Revolution became apparent to all. Re-explaining the Age of Revolutions requires exploring the inspirations and borrowing across borders that fueled the age's most radical advancements. The uprisings of colonial slaves happened after wide-ranging contestations between planters, poor whites, and free blacks, with all sides borrowing their associational forms directly from revolutionary France. Already, before the provocations of 1789, deep rifts divided not just the rich planters from the poor whites of the island, but also both from the population of mulattoes and free blacks known as gens de couleur, free men of color. The descendants of slaves, often of artisanal and merchant skill, form the intermediary caste of the island. Under the old regime, they were granted significant political roles, including participating in militias, with whites thus trusting their loyalty during slave revolts. Nevertheless, in a slave society based upon gradations between masters and slaves, no free blacks, regardless of wealth or skill, could gain full equal status with whites. Although all sides had much to fear from the slaves who constituted over 90% of the population, gens de couleur were made no more than partial allies. Saint-Domingue's formation of Estates General deputations would not take the relatively inclusive form of those in France, but instead be drawn exclusively from elite planter families, heightening antagonisms of class and race on the island. Colonial administrators, not wanting to legitimize such activities, issued no official convocation of electoral districts, claiming not to know the king's intentions on colonial representation, and allowed only small groups to form for petitioning while declaring any gathering of more than five an illicit assembly to be prosecuted. The planters nevertheless persisted, flouting the governor's decree and in covert meetings confirming 18 deputies to send to France. Efforts to keep the meetings quiet or confined to colonial elites, however, failed. Politics was said to become the, quote, unique subject of conversations, with everyone wanting to read the doléances and being scandalized by them. The island's free black and mulatto population, excluded from planter assemblies and intimidated by authorities, nevertheless organized illicit meetings to select their own deputies. outnumbering the whites approximately 24,000 to 6,000. They look to highlight their own status as French subjects, their equal or greater paying of taxes, and as they could, quote, see no difference between the blacks and the whites, they asserted that they ought also to be represented. Finding little hope of gaining justice for their cause on the island, free blacks sent their own deputies to the National Assembly, hoping to successfully appeal to French humanity. Upon arriving in France, the planters' delegation would meet unexpected complications from the growing influence of the Société des Amis des Noirs, a lobbying society directly influenced by English and American examples. The French revolutionary moment at first seemed to coincide perfectly with their campaign against the slave trade, with organizer Jacques Brissot taking inspiration from how the American campaigns had taken hold, quote, at the time the Americans developed a vigorous resistance against the auspicious tyranny of the English government, praising the young country for, quote, in the northern and middle states having outlawed forever the importation of blacks, while the trade was also being phased out in the south. The society had recently sent circulars to many French electoral districts, quote, hoping that the nation will see the trade and slavery of the blacks as one of the evils of which it must prepare the destruction. Public opinion began to turn. Nearly 50 of the 520 surviving Cahiers de Doléances across France expressed disapprobation towards either the slave trade or slavery itself, though most favored only gradual reforms. As the revolution turned against despotism, there could be no greater example of abuse than the planters' conduct in the colonies. Looking to combat the Amis des Noirs, planter interests in Paris, where many of the richest had long resided, formed the Club Massillac in June 1789. Formerly known as the Société Correspondante de Colons Français, the society looked to employ similar social movement models as its opponents to build pressure against National Assembly interference in colonial affairs. It quickly gained 435 members, including numerous noble families, wealthy merchant interests, powerful administrators, and National Assembly deputies, including Pierre de Malouet and Antoine Barnave. Taking a hard line against all reform, they opposed any changes to their rights of property and, quote, no more wanted to admit the pretensions of the mulattoes than that of the blacks to equality. The Club Massillac looked to become a corresponding society on a scale that could eclipse the Amis des Noirs and, prior to the Jacobins' rise, be the most powerful club network in France. In August, the society approved and sent a circular letter to the chambers of commerce of major port cities seeking active correspondence, leading Bordeaux to found a Comité Américain, and Nantes, La Rochelle, Saint-Malo, Marseille, Bayonne, Brest, and Calais to establish similar organizations in September. The Club Massillac looked to become an effective lobbying organization not unlike the Liverpool-led effort that opposed the British slave trade's abolition. Deviation from club goals, they argued, would bring about, quote, the ruin of commerce. In late 1789, their position appeared strong. Saint-Domingue planters, drawing inspiration from the United States as much as the Amis des Noirs, though from the south instead of the north, believed their moment for self-determination had come. The plantation owners appeared too economically important to be treated otherwise. One of the colony's deputies for the nobility, Louis Guy d'Arcy, declared that Saint-Domingue presented to the, quote, shocked eye of the visitor, 60 cities, 6,000 villages that had become the richest, most powerful, most productive of our provinces, particularly valuable given the disastrous state of our finances in France. The colony's importance was only matched by their differentness, where, as another pamphlet described, neither, quote, the climate, nor the physical space, nor the morals, nor the nature of the properties, nor the commercial relationships, nor the type of industry, nor the population, nor the seasons corresponded to French patterns. The National Assembly reluctantly agreed to admit planter deputies, though only six in proportion to the free population, instead of the 30, roughly a three-fifths slave representation, the slave owners had sought. Jean de Couleur resided in Paris. Free black and mixed-race merchants and tradesmen soon formed their own organization, the Société de Colons Américains. Though remaining silent, though remaining in alliance, not remaining silent, with the Amis des Noirs, the pressure group pushed for the rights of man to apply to non-whites and contest the planters' claims to rightfully represent the island in the National Assembly. They sought to negotiate directly with the Club Massillac. Some planters appeared at least partially conciliatory, as one letter to Saint-Domingue's regional committees in December described, the freemen constituted their, quote, best defenders against the slaves. But the Planters' Club would soon become the group's dedicated opponent. The Amis de Noir expanded their efforts to include the rights of freemen of color. Abbé Grégoire, in a speech before the National Assembly, considered the gens de couleur to be the colony's rampart against, quote, rebels and barons, asserting that if they were removed from the colonial equation, quote, the whites would succumb by their inferiority to the number of slaves. Should free blacks demand not receive redress, he considered, quote, resistance to oppression, a right emanated from God and represented by the National Assembly. Free blacks would have little choice but to unravel the colonial order through violence if necessary. The day appeared soon arriving when, quote, living is nothing, living free is everything, and the past degradations would no longer be tolerated. The growing controversies over representation in France, together with French revolutionary examples, soon sparked similar changes in Saint-Domingue, the first among the white population. Upon news of the Bastille's fall, tricolor cockades were distributed, quote, to everybody who had a white face. With little sense of irony, colonial whites, quote, haughtily spoke of liberty before the slaves and declaimed with bitterness against privileges, prejudices, and despotism. François Raymond, relative of Paris Jean de Couleur activist Julien Raymond, watched the white colonists with bemusement, noting the, quote, the blacks who understand that the cockade is for liberty and equality have wanted to rise up. Municipal revolutions commenced, with committees taking hold in the largest cities of the island. As soon as Saint-Domingue residents, quote, had heard that in France the people had taken possession of public authority by forming committees and municipalities, as planter Jean Carteau described, colonists did likewise. The inspiration at having heard, quote, the dissolution of chains that held our brothers in Europe in oppression, another colonial chronicler related, led the colonists to confront, quote, the arbitrary power and tyranny that here also has grown such deep roots. Receiving news that, quote, popular authorities were forming in all parts of France, propertied whites ignored the laws against club activity and formed satellite organizations in turn across the island. Saint-Domingue politics grew more inflamed after further, increasingly desperate communications arrived from their representatives in France. After the National Assembly fully legitimated club meetings August 12th, planter deputies wrote to their island constituents, urging them to mobilize as fully as possible. As, quote, every society has the right to assemble themselves to freely consider communal affairs, one letter urged the colonists, quote, open your eyes to the effects of the fermentation that reigns in the kingdom could produce, urging them, quote, not to neglect any precautions to maintain order, peace, and subordination amongst yourselves. Rather than promoting free discussion, however, this appeared a way of muscling control of the public sphere. Another letter of the same date warned that the Amis de Noir appeared to, quote, wait for the favorable moment to raise a storm against slavery, leading them to recommend colonists arrest suspected reformers and, quote, seize writings in which the word liberty is even mentioned. Indeed, lynchings and arbitrary imprisonments against free blacks grew increasingly common. Yet waves of further French revolutionary destabilizations continued, with the Declaration of the Rights of Man and Citizen undermining colonist positions further. Word spread back to Europe that white colonials, quote, regarded it as a dangerous and unpardonable blow leveled against their power over the Negroes and the mulattoes. Jean de Couleur, meanwhile, no longer had to base their rights on the 1685 Code Noir, but instead could cite the French Revolution's most important document. A new cahier de doléances was soon drafted, calling for, quote, the same rights, ranks, prerogatives, franchises, and privileges to be given to all free men, whether free blacks, mulattoes, quatteroons, one-quarter black, or otherwise. The present situation was degraded by the pretensions of oppressor citizens, alluding to the Declaration of Rights guarantee of a right of resistance. Jean de Couleur of Saint-Domingue continued organizing and lobbying, hoping the National Assembly would take up their cause. In November, an illicit meeting sent a, quote, supplication and petition to the citizens of color of the French islands and colonies, protesting the creation of a colonial committee in the National Assembly half composed of white planters and half of French maritime city representatives. The Jean considered themselves, quote, menaced with being forgotten, and asked for the, quote, same balance for the whites and citizens of color. Explicitly justifying their demand under natural right, free blacks called for justice. Bringing their demands before the National Assembly in Paris that autumn, Raymond reminded the Assembly of their own definition that, quote, all political association has as its principal goal the conservation of the natural and imprescriptible rights of man. Across autumn 1789 in Saint-Domingue, a new colonial assembly took shape. Over its first months, the assembly would declare itself permanent, bring state colonial finances under its control, demand the subordination of military commanders, and organize the colony's new municipal structures. The assembly tasked itself with developing a colonial constitution in keeping with their vision of what the French Revolution represented, but preserving the island's hierarchy. Even the most moderate attempts by Jean de Couleur to win token representation under the emerging order met brutal suppression. Mulattoes of the town of Petit Gouave brought a petition to an electoral meeting asking for the right to name a single deputy of color to the Regional Assembly of the West. The petitioners were arrested on the spot and forced by threats to name the petition's author. Blame fell on the Paris' seneschal, Ferrand de Baudière, for having allegedly encouraged the Jean de Couleur. Arrested for interrogation, local whites soon formed a lynch mob, overwhelming the jail's guard and carrying the old royal officer outside to behead him and place the severed cranium on a pike. Though some northern parishes would allow Jean de Couleur to vote in primary assemblies, though none dared elect blacks to the colonial assembly, in most areas, intimidation and violence by lower-class petits blancs effectively prevented black voter participation. As the whites and Jean de Couleur politically organized, so too, more surreptitiously, would groups of slaves. Word of interdictions against slavery and the slave trade in some of the United States spread, sometimes in an exaggerated form, and many conjectured that France would now go further. In the other slave islands, Martinique and Guadeloupe, slave uprisings occurred, with many believing the king had already granted all the blacks freedom. Quote, if giving us our liberty be opposed, declared one letter purportedly from the insurgents received by Martinique authorities, quote, we will spread fire and blood throughout all the colony. Rumors of such extremities also convulsed Saint-Domingue, while false reports reached France by late 1789 that such an outbreak had already occurred. Far from the begging, submissive slave the abolitionist pictured on the Société des Amis logo, none involved with the colonies could afford to discount the latent power of the oppressed. From the revolution's early days onwards, none could fail to take seriously the possibility of extreme bloodshed and a full colonial social breakdown. In conclusion, while unfortunately the conference format does not permit a lengthier account of the political process leading to the great slave uprising of 1791 that made the Haitian Revolution, as this chapter will attempt, by late 1789, the destabilizing politics of revolutionary France had fully arrived in Saint-Domingue. Behind the empowerments of natural rights rhetoric and the shattering of the old political order, which destabilized the racial order in turn, the colony entered a state of endemic turmoil in which the planters, and eventually the free blacks as well, through political polarization, became too divided and isolated to preserve the slave society. As new associational models ascended in French revolutionary politics, social movements became the driver of events in Saint-Domingue. Thank you.